Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 3.
Jigyasitam susampanam apite mahad adbhutam krittavan bharatam yastvam sarvartha paribhrimitam jigyasitam susampanam apite mahad adbhutam kritavan bharatam yastvam sarvartha paribhrimitam jigyasitam susampannam apite mahad adbhutam Krittavan bharatam yastvam sarvartha paribhrimhitam.
Jnasitam susampanam
jigyasitam susampanam apite mahad adbhutam Krittavan bharatam yastvam sarvartha paribhrimitam jigyasitam susampanam apite mahad adbhutam krittavan bharatam yastvam Sarvartha paribhrimhitam Jigyasitam susampannam Apite mahad adbhutam Krittavan bharatam yastvam Sarvartha paribhrimhitam Matajis Jigyasitam susampanam apite mahad adbhutam krittavan bharatam yastvam sarvartha paribhrimhitam jigyasitam
fully inquired
Susampanam,
well-versed.
Api,
in spite of.
Te,
your.
Mahad adbhutam,
great and wonderful.
Krittavan,
prepared.
Bharatam,
the Mahabharata.
Ya
tvam,
what you have done.
Sarva
artha,
including all sequences.
Paribhrimhitam,
elaborately explained.
Translation. This is Narada speaking to Vyas.
Your inquiries were full, and your studies were also well fulfilled. And there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work, the Mahabharata, which is full of all kinds of Vedic sequences, elaborately explained. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The despondency of Vyasadeva was certainly not due to his lack of sufficient knowledge, because as a student he had fully inquired about Vedic literatures, as a result of which the Mahabharata is compiled with full
explanation of the Vedas. We'll go two more verses. Tomorrow is number 6. Text number 4 reads, "You have fully delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman as well as the knowledge derived therefrom. Why should you be despondent in spite of all this, thinking that you are undone, my dear Prabhu?" Purport. The Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra compiled by Sri Vyasadeva is the full deliberation of the impersonal absolute feature, and it is accepted as the most exalted philosophical exposition in the world. It covers the subject of eternity, and the methods are scholarly. So, there cannot be any doubt about the transcendental scholarship of Vyasadeva. So, why should he lament? And Vyasadeva replies, "All you've said about me is perfectly correct. Despite all this, I am not pacified. I therefore question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction. For you are a man of unlimited knowledge due to your being the offspring of one, Brahma, who is self-born or without mundane father and mother." Purport. In the material world, everyone is engrossed with the idea of identifying the body or the mind with the self. As such, all knowledge disseminated in the material world is related either with the body or with the mind, and that is the root cause of all despondencies. This is not always detected. Even though one may be the greatest erudite scholar in material knowledge, it is good, therefore, to approach a personality like Narada to solve the root cause of all despondencies. Why Narada should be approached is explained as follows. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Sadakaya Chakshura Niditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Madhavistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantika. So these verses are continuing basically same idea as we discussed yesterday. The root cause of despondency is bodily identification or identification with the subtle body, the mind. Bodily, mental, intellectual, and spiritual planes of consciousness. So the lower planes of consciousness, even they may be really spectacular, they're not going to be satisfying to the soul. That's the core idea. Unfortunately, persons are often attracted to some really nice packaged bodily, mental, or intellectual thing. And just like Queen Kunti's prayer, Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, and Shri, these four things, they're sought after by persons in this world, being proud of their achievement and high birth, that was already referred to previously. When Narada's first question was, you're the son of Parashara Muni. And everybody knows Parashara Muni. He's a great personality. So you have this high birth. So why aren't you happy? And then
you have great, then these verses, great education. You follow the disciplines perfectly. So the beginning of the discipline in transcendental knowledge is proper inquiry. Of course, sense control and mind control, but yes, you've got that down, and your inquiries were excellent. The information that you received was excellent. You put it all together and composed this literature. Real knockout, Mahabharata. Great one. In Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha, he makes reference to he's establishing that Vyas, who compiled the Vedas from one into four just for sake of division of function, because previously the functions weren't divided, it was one, but to make it simpler for the reader, and it's still not simple, the Vedas are in four, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva Veda, function-wise, and then each of the Vedas, they have their subdivisions of the sacrifices themselves, the hymns that accompany the sacrifice, the procedures that are to be followed for the sacrifice, and the philosophical explanation of the sacrifice. So, making those divisions and subdivisions of those divisions was done by Vyas, but Vyas also compiled Mahabharata and the Puranas. Our modern scholars would want us to believe otherwise. But Parashara, the authority who is the father of Vyas, describes very interesting reference. He describes that my son Vyas is a literary incarnation, he's the incarnation of Krishna, because his proof is this composition of Mahabharata that he did is super spectacular. The indication is that in every end of Dwarapa Yuga, at the juncture of Kali Yuga, someone has to fill the post of Vyas. He has to do this function of taking the oral tradition Veda and divide the Vedas into four. Parashara indicates that I did it before. Previously, Parashara was in the post of Vyas, because the post of Vyas is now occupied by Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, the son of Parashara, but previously Parashara said, I didn't do such a good job as my son. What he has done is, it's spectacular. He's personality Godhead, incarnation, Shaktivesha Avatar, because this Mahabharata is really good. So, Narada is saying, you Janma, Aishvarya, and of course in his opulence he's a Grahastha, but he is extremely sense controlled, perfectly sense controlled. So this, that kind of sense control is real renunciation, it's real opulence. And he wasn't particularly beautiful. When he came before Ambika and Ambalika, he had been engaged in austerities for a long time. When his mother called for him, because when he was born, as the son of Parashara Muni, and the son of that the mother was Satyavati. Satyavati had this benediction from Parashara. Whenever you call, just call my name and I'll be there. And Vyas showed up and said, my dear mother, you called. As I promised, I'd come. What I can do for you? I've got a little service. We need you to father some children over here. And he said, it's best if you wait a while because I'm in the midst of austerities. My body is caked with dirt and doesn't smell very good. And wait till I'm finished with my austerities. And Satyavati didn't want to wait. Because who knows? My husband died and my sons have died and who knows what's going to happen. So please, you perform the service now. Okay. And when Ambika saw Vyas, she closed her eyes. So beauty wasn't one of his opulences. But the beauty of an ascetic is another kind of beauty. She was expecting Satyavati's son Bhishma, or the, not her son, but the son of Santanu, Bhishma. And it wasn't Bhishma, yes. So he had, the message is this, he had opulences. He had everything that a person of his position should be completely satisfied with. Great birth, great performance of his, the principles of knowledge in the sixth canto, the first chapter, Prabhupada presents, or gives in a purport, what he calls the regular principles of knowledge. And I just take that as a very strong phrase because Prabhupada so often spoke of the regular principles in Krishna consciousness. And it was such a significant and strong phrase. So, the regulative principles of knowledge, tapasya brahmacharjena samena niyamena va. In that verse, Prabhupada describes these are the regular principles of knowledge, because one who is in the process of learning, ideally in the brahmachari ashram or the student life, one is engaged in learning, and the first principle is tapasya. The student is taught to control their mind and their senses, and in the before passing through the young stage into the young adult stage, brahmacharya. And the principle of brahmacharya, Prabhupada taught again and again and repeatedly again, that the young boy, when attending school, he was taught by his teacher, by his guru, that everyone should be seen and addressed as mother. Any female should be addressed as mother, except for at that stage of life where one becomes married, and then that's one's wife. We have this funny thing in ISKCON that people say Mataji without even thinking about what they're saying, and then when they get married, they continue the nomenclature Mataji, addressing their wife till someone straightens them out. So rather than a mindless address of Mataji, the child in student life is trained to respect his parents. The teacher trains the student to respect the parents and to respect all women as one's mother. And in that way, the principle of brahmacharya is sustained until that status of brahmacharya ashram is changed to grihastha ashram, but then it continues, except for my wife. All women are not objects of potential enjoyment, but they're to be respected as women. That's the principle. Prabhupada expanded. It doesn't matter their age. a young girl, one's sister, one's mother, one's relatives. They're all in this category, respected as mother. So, the principles of Brahma Jigyasa, the principles of inquiring into transcendental knowledge, that's a principle of knowledge also. Being inquisitive is necessary for having knowledge. Otherwise, it's information and it doesn't go anywhere. Just information on your hard drive. Without any real deeper understanding. So inquisitiveness is necessary for gaining spiritual knowledge. Then he compliments him further. Not only the Mahabharata you have compiled is spectacular, but you've compiled Vedanta Sutra. Not only the codes of conduct for society in general, what is dharma and what is adharma, but the fruit in the form of spiritual knowledge of Vedanta Sutra. You get an A in your homework and in your final exam. You did a great job. So, why are you feeling despondent? This is the message is, the fruits of piety are not sufficient to bring real satisfaction. The fruits of jnana are not sufficient to bring real satisfaction. That's the message. And therefore, the description of what devotional service is, given by Rupa Goswami, the whole text of Nectar Devotion, just as our topic last night was devotional service, the topic of devotional service, or the definition of devotional service, is, first of all, what it's not. It's not speculative knowledge, gyan, or the attaining the fruits of pious activities, karma. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam. That's what it's not. So, same thing as what's being said here. You're this most capable literary person, and you've the fruits of piety and proper conduct and dharma and transcendental knowledge, you've demonstrated, you've got it. You have those fruits, but you're not happy. So what's required? Anukulyena krishnanushilana bhaktir uttama. That's what's required. The rendering of devotional service without any interest in speculative knowledge or gaining position for enjoying facilities of this world, whatever they may be. So, why does one approach life or scripture or a spiritual master or like whatever the method is that one is trying to do and look for those things? I want knowledge, or I want fruits of good work. And the answer is given. It was already given, it's being given again. It's identification with the body or the mind. So to say the same thing in a different way. I and mine are the two, Prabhupada describes this in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, they're the two psychic divisions of material consciousness. And mind is stacked on top of I, or extends from whatever I think I am, that determines what I think is mine. So, if I'm what's mine, what I want to make mine, or it's already mine, and I want to make it more, is fruits of material activity and speculative knowledge. That's stuff that I generate, because if I'm this body, the work that I do is mine, and the fruits of the work is mine. And so whatever I produce and whatever I can exchange or barter or purchase with what's mine is also mine. And then with this body, I have wife and I generate children. So it's my wife and my children and my bank account and my credit card and my house and my taxes and my electric bill, and the debits and the credits are in the my category, and then there's the I category, I'm this body. Or it's maybe the mind, so it's my ideas and my doctrine and my isms, and I get very invested in it because it's mine. The mind conception is rooted in the I conception, and that's what Vyasa is saying. Prabhupada is repeating it in the purport. In the material world, everyone is engrossed with the idea of identifying with the body or the mind with the self. And so, when it comes to knowledge, what's the knowledge that they're interested in? It's in relation to the body or to the mind. Because that's what I am, then that's what's mine. As such, all knowledge disseminated in the material world is related either with the body or with the mind. And that is the root cause of all despondencies. So, how to check the problem? You go back to the I conception, which also then will naturally adjust the mind conception. And it's not enough just to say aham brahmasmi, because if that's what the soul is, then what does the soul do? So it's incomplete. The understanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us is complete. What do souls do? Soul serves the Supreme Soul. But unless you have an understanding of the soul and the Supreme Soul, you're not going to have an understanding of what you do in relation to the Supreme Soul. The Mayavad doctrine says there's only one Atma. And that's Brahman. There's no Atma Paramatma. That's their idea, is that's mistaken. All there is Brahman, and I'm Brahman. It's pretty cool. I'm all there is, and there's nothing else. Because the predisposition mindset is, as soon as you have Parabrahman and Brahman, or Paramatma and Atma, then you have two, and then your whole treatise just got torpedoed and sunk. So it's only one, Atma or Brahman, and I am that. I just forgot. Brahman, all there is, that's me, somehow got covered. Don't ask me how it happened, because my answer will be, it's just illusion, it never really happened. Which is word jugglery. So is that there's no part of Brahman, because the scriptures are fully indicating, and a little contemplation indicates very clearly that there must be and there is. So his treatise on Vedanta Sutra, if not understood from a Vaishnava perspective, is not going to bring satisfaction to the self. So the life of Vyasa and the instructions of Narada, both, they're amplifying the message presented in the second chapter of the Bhagavatam. Savai pungsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaje ahoitaki pratyata yatma supersedati. We've been mentioning this verse, but satisfaction of the self only comes when there is devotional service to Vasudeva. Devotional service to Vasudeva means there's a servitor, there's the served, and there's the process of service. The impersonalist wants to come along with an elephant and step on it. like to squish it. Doesn't exist. Because then you have three things. You can't have three things because all there is one thing. So there's no devotional service. Because you have to have three things. At least. Actually, it's unlimited living entities serving the Supreme through the medium of devotional service. You have this plurality when everything is one. No good. Doesn't exist. So you want to philosophically hit the eject button and God just disappears. So what happens is instead is their satisfaction eject button is hit and their satisfaction disappears. The happiness of such realization is illusion. Because there's plurality in the spiritual world. There's personality in the spiritual world. There's name and form and variegatedness of an absolute nature in the spiritual world. That is what our scriptures teach us, and that's the fact. So, Vyasa is now, in this verse number 5, he's reposing his dilemma at the feet of Narada. And the next verses are going to describe what are the qualifications that Narada has to dispel his dilemma. Right here he's indicating you're not a common person. You're a person who has unlimited knowledge, which you have received from your father. And your father's pretty unique too. He's unborn, meaning not born of mother and father. So you're the direct son of Lord Brahma, who is the original recipient of all Vedic knowledge directly from Lord Krishna. So surely you'll know the solution to this dilemma of why I'm feeling despondency when I shouldn't be. And of course Narada knows and discloses. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai.